Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest.
Hey, everybody, what a great intro. And thanks to my friend Dave, whose voice that is. He's a great guy. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest this Tuesday night. And we are going to be talking about one of my very favorite topics on the planet, waste. Like, it's really kind of sad how much I want to talk about waste, why we have too much of it, why we need to cut down on it, and why we need to not throw it away. And joining me in studio tonight is Ruben Vejar from one of my favorite programs in the Southwest, Rise Equipment Recycling Center. And we're going to focus tonight on e-waste, not just waste in general, which there's plenty to talk about that. And believe me when I say that if you have anything electronic that you don't know what to do with, Rise is your answer in Tucson and Pima County. So, Ruben, thanks for being here with me tonight. I've got a bunch of questions.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's going to be fun. And we have always so much to talk about, you and I, but I want to remind people to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I was tweeting about your being on the show about 5 minutes ago. And remember that I am live every Saturday at 12 Mountain Standard Time, broadcasting Mrs. Green's World, where I also interview guests from all over the United States on every topic of sustainability that you can imagine. So, Ruben, let's start with the simple explanation of what RISE is and how it got started.
Okay. RISE was started about 15 years ago, actually. It was called Desert Waste Not Warehouse.
You're kidding.
Yes.
I did not even know that.
And that was a kind of a in collaboration with Pima County, with along with some grants that they had received. They were collecting overstock, anything businesses could donate, clothing, shoes, whatever. And slowly, computers started to come into the picture. They were receiving all kinds of donations of computers and electronics. They didn't know what to do with them.
Like what to do with that
waste. A lot
of
them did not work.
Right.
So they had a lot of garbage at that time. So then it evolved into Pima Computer Recycling, and eventually was taken over by our parent company, which is Cope Behavioral Services. And they named it Rise Equipment Recycling Center. And our main focus is it's a local nonprofit organization, and we strive to make technology available to at-risk populations. We refurbish any computer that is refurbishable. We install a new license, a new operating system, Windows 7 right now. We install Microsoft Office. These are special licenses that are sold to us as a nonprofit by Microsoft. And then we make them available to people. They have to qualify to purchase them. These are Microsoft rules. But they have to be very low income.
So they have to meet the federal guidelines for like free and reduced lunch.
Absolutely.
Of the business world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I get it.
And they also can go to other nonprofits, which we also make them available to other nonprofits.
I didn't know that either.
Yes.
So, and
mm-hmm.
then how do you sell them to the... Because I remember, I have really, when I think about my interactions with RISE, a young lady that I mentor that is now a family friend, she needed a computer, and we went to RISE, and I think it was $25.
Right. We have a sliding scale. We donate a lot of them at no cost. It depends on the situation. It depends on the organization, on the person. But we have a sliding scale, and the computer's fully refurbished, and we're talking monitor, tower, software, keyboard, and mouse, with a warranty. They range anywhere from $50 to $150.
And when I think about it, if you are in an at-risk population and you don't have a computer, that really ups your risk factor. Because
Absolutely.
To find a job, everything now is online. You have to do interviews, you know, fill out your applications, everything. There
right.
are not people that you talk to usually for the first process in any job application. I don't know
right.
anywhere where you go in and fill it out. Fill it out online.
So everything is online.
Mm-hmm. is moving to the net. That's why Mrs. Green's World did mm-hmm. too. So let's go back a little bit even more. Why shouldn't we throw it away? I can't believe it's 15 years old. We should have not been throwing a lot of things away 15 years ago.
Absolutely.
So there mm-hmm. are space reasons in terms of we're running out of places to put landfills, but then there are good things being thrown literally in the dump.
Absolutely. A lot of this stuff, you know, technology moves so fast nowadays. People always want the latest technology.
The latest gizmo even though their computers, and gadget.
Right. Even though their computers are still good enough. They want the latest, they want the newest. Or maybe they do have requirements that they need to upgrade.
Right.
So they get rid of their equipment, but a lot of it is more than adequate for home use, for small business use. We run a pretty large business over there, and all our computers are the ones that we refurbish. We use them ourselves because we are a nonprofit.
And aren't some of the people mm-hmm. that do that volunteers? I remember when I took the tour, it's like mm-hmm. little magical wizards working in the back room with their instruments making these things happen. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive.
Yes. About half of our staff at any given day is made up of volunteers. We have two longtime volunteers that have been with us for, one of them has been over 12 years. He goes back to the Desert Waste, not years.
And did he work for Microsoft or something?
No,
I kind of remember.
He was an engineer. He's a retired engineer. I don't remember what
he's
company
he worked
for.
He's a brainiac, and he knows how to fix computers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he volunteers 3 days a week refurbishing these computers. But, you know, we have a large staff that works because the second part of our program is also it serves as a voc rehab program for COPE clients as well as other behavioral service providers. For their clients, we let people do community service there that have to do community service for many different reasons, a lot of them for legal reasons. We take volunteers at large just because they need a computer.
Right, right.
If they volunteer and they qualify, they get a computer after they donate 40 hours.
So it's really a win-win. Mm-hmm. And COPE Behavioral Health Services, they manage large volume mental health contracts and at-risk populations, because I think a lot of people don't know what they do.
Right.
So you are helping those clients that are at risk, that might not have a mental health problem, but they're at risk and they need to come in, and someone needs to hire them. They need a second chance. They need a hand up.
Right. They come in and we're sort of like a pre-employment program also, where we help them prepare for a real job, you know, show up on time.
This is how you dress. Mm-hmm. This is good work habits.
Mm-hmm. Right. How you get along with others at the workplace. And then we serve as a reference for them. And COPE has a vocal rehab person that tries to find them employment. Also.
So there's a whole, I call it the closed mm-hmm. loop. You keep right. the money that you raise because you have a retail store. I think we should tell people that. There's a retail store, and I have been in there, and I always come out with mm-hmm. something because it's interesting, whether it's ink cartridges or something that just got a one-time donation. I've bought Christmas decorations in there. So what happens with the volume of stuff that can't be used, because you don't get everything in working order that you can fix and refurbish? I mean, you have an entire huge yard of materials that you're packing up, and just give us a little bit of a picture for that.
Okay. Obviously, most of the computers, electronics that we receive are non-working. So everything is taken across into our recycling yard, separated and dismantled to some degree, especially computer towers. A computer tower, we will take it apart completely. Even the screws that hold it together are recycled.
I saw that. That when my Rotary group went to visit you, we could not believe, like literally down to the smallest screw, you had boxes of them.
Right.
So everything gets used.
Everything is used. Everything has a different scrap value. It is quite valuable. I tell people, a computer tower, if I dismantle it and sell the scrap, obviously in large quantities, we can average between $12 to $15 in recycling revenue from a computer tower.
Is a pound?
Per tower.
Per tower. Okay,
yes.
Okay.
Everything is sold per pound, but different things like the motherboard on a computer is the most expensive part. Actually, no, the processor that's on the motherboard can go for as much as $18 to $20 a pound if you have hundreds and thousands of them,
right,
which we collect.
A buyer, too. Mm-hmm. That process is mm-hmm. fascinating to me, too. Just in the time that I have been Mrs. Green or preparing to be Mrs. Green, it seems to me from the research I do and the guests that I interview that – there is an incredible increase in demand for scrap of every kind, and large companies are getting involved in the repurchasing, the purchasing of scrap metals. Is that what you're finding? That there, if you've got it, there's somebody that wants to buy it?
That's correct. There isn't anything that somebody won't buy. We sell the plastic. Even the people come and donate their parts and their computers in a cardboard box. We recycle the cardboard box.
Sell the cardboard.
We bale it, and we sell it to the same people that buy our plastic. Computers, electronics have a lot of plastic. Sometimes we don't dismantle them. We just stack them up, sell it to a processor that's going to melt it down. Here in the States, we try and keep everything in Arizona.
Because I was going to say, does this waste go on the slow boat to China?
Absolutely not.
It does not, right?
We are not allowed to sell it out, and we don't want to. We want to make sure that it's done correctly and safely.
And what about security issues? I mean, the price of copper is over the top, and it's in great demand, and it can't be mined fast enough, and we don't want to go into that whole conversation. Right. Do you have to consider security issues because you get copper? Not that I'm like being an advertisement for people to know you have copper, but I know my friend Jason Tankersley is going to start buying back copper, and he's going to have to hire security.
You do have to lock it up. It is under lock because people will steal it. It is very valuable.
Houses and all of that, and then selling it. I wonder who's buying it from the people that are stealing it. I mean, all of those houses were abandoned in Phoenix, they were just pulling the air conditions out of the homes and getting the copper.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
because
it's very valuable. It's very valuable.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what about what don't you take? I've seen space heaters in there that I mentioned, and couches, and lots of fun stuff. So what don't you take?
We do not take household furniture unless we get...
Once
sometimes
in a while.
We get donated a brand new piece of furniture, and we will put it in the store and put it up for sale. Or a business will donate a scratch and dent that somebody returned, something that was
brand
damaged
new.
In freight. Yes, brand new. And we'll put it up for a fraction of the original cost.
And it doesn't last very long.
No.
Because when you go in there, you just see signs sold. So it doesn't
last. We have people that make the rounds every day to see what came in that day.
Right. I wonder if some of them are reselling it. I wonder. I can't help it.
I don't know. But
I don't know.
They find some great bargains.
Yeah, I bet they do find some great bargains. Now, what about things like, you know, refrigerators, washers, dryers, stoves? Do you get into that arena at all?
No, we don't take large appliances. There are other recyclers that will take that here, actually in any community. But we do not at this time take them. We take microwaves. We will take small things like toasters, you know, hair dryers, stuff like that, coffee pots. But we take VCRs, DVD players, radios, stereos, receivers, satellite dishes,
flat screen TVs. I've seen some smoking deals in there for flat screen. And you're right. People just say, well, I've got to get the newest toy. Mm-hmm. And then they need to really think about it. One of the really exciting things to me about this show is that I want people to understand that they can go and find a program like yours, not throw it in the landfill. Mm-hmm. And you'll sell it, and you're making taxpayers, because the people that you're teaching how to get jobs, to me, it's like an investment fund. You're getting these people that are may or not be on welfare, but they're unemployed, and turning them into employable, trained staff. I think that's really one of the best things.
Right. I mean, it keeps the environment clean, because this is hazardous waste that's going into the landfills if it's thrown away. But it's also saving natural resources, because the more we reuse this material, the less they have to re-mine.
And we're going to have to. Mm-hmm. I mean, like cell phones, our kids and the newest Bell, they cannot have a cell phone that's a year old.
Right.
Our generation. Mr. Green is one of the exceptions who likes to keep his until they don't make it. Ruben's pointing at himself. It's like, okay, I don't really need a new cell phone. I don't want the bells and whistles and... OPS, don't try to contact me on Facebook either. It's really fun. Right. Okay, what about, I know that you have some really, I would call them great partners. I know you have regular recycling events at Raytheon, and they do an incredible amount of, they want to be the net zero waste. So what does that event, or is it one event, or is it on a regular basis?
We do two events a year with them. Excuse me, and we also pick up stuff from them when they do. They don't throw their binders, any office supplies,
away.
Nothing. They call us and, can you recycle them? Can you use them? And if we can, we go pick them up. But they set up two events a year where we will take our box truck and our trailer. We will go park at their main gate, and as their employees are coming into work at different, they have staggered shifts starting at 6 a.m. in the morning. Their employees drive up, drop off their household electronics, anything that they want to get rid of.
And do you see, with just knowing that and being a part of RISE as long as you have been, I always want to know what people doing what you're doing about the consciousness of the general population. I know when we had our entire Rotary Club go there, it was a big deal for a lot of our Rotarians who are good people. They care about community service. Some of them had garages full of waste because they knew not to throw it away, but where should I take it? And they've become regulars of yours too. So are people getting more aware that, folks, not only do we have a problem on the waste end of where we're going to put it all, but on the supply end for the manufacturing of new things? It's both.
Right.
So you think people are becoming more aware of it? And do you
they
see,
are.
They are.
People are finding out. A lot of businesses are recycling up, like electronics places that sell, large box houses are doing their own recycling also. It's just not us, but they're taking back old electronics, like a trade-in against something new.
Right, so it doesn't go in the landfills. I mean, to me now, our garbage can is very small. Our recycling is bigger. But even then, we're trying to be on the first R, reduce, so that we're not doing a lot of the massive consumption that we may have done even 5 years ago. And what about hazardous waste? Do you take hazardous waste, or do you? I know there's a first Saturday where you see people lining up as soon as it opens. Mm-hmm. So what do you partner with? Who does that?
We partner up with the City of Tucson Household Hazardous Waste Department on the first Saturday of every month on the East Side City Hall.
Right.
Okay. Or is East Side Councilman's office, I believe.
But right.
I
think Paul Cunningham now. Supporter of sustainable practices. Right.
And you can't miss it. I believe it's Speedway Pantano area. You can't miss it. There's usually a long line of cars, and you'll see a lot of volunteers in their yellow vest directing traffic, and people will come by, drop off electronics as well as household hazardous waste like paints and chemicals and anything that they have that they don't want in the landfill.
And that makes me feel good too, because it's like you should not throw a can of paint in the garbage.
Right.
We don't. And Mr. Green, saves it until there's enough for a drop and find out where to be responsible. The thing that people don't understand is like it becomes then a possible toxin in the air we breathe just because it got dumped in the landfill and pollutes. It can get leaked through the watershed. I mean, it's really, we got to be on board, folks.
Right. It mixes up with other chemicals and creates a big hazard.
A big explosion. So people then are aware that they can bring their paint can and their computer or cell phone because your staff is on there?
Right.
On the scene to
collect
it? Yes,
we have our truck there collecting every first Saturday of the month.
Okay. Speaking of trucks, what about pickup? You're staffed heavily in the yard area and in the retail part and all that, but what about if someone has things that they want you to pick up? How does that work?
We do have a large box truck with a lift gate, and we do commercial pickups. I mean, we don't do household. We're not going to go out and pick up a TV or one computer because we just don't have the personnel or the time to do that.
Not to mention gas prices now, which
is
going to just get worse. I mean, everything people do, that's going to have to be factored in. It's becoming a big budget item.
Right. But we do a lot of commercial pickups. People have these large floor copiers, if you've seen in businesses. They can't even move them. They don't know how to get rid of them. But they call us, and we'll go out. For a small, we do have a fee of $25 for commercial pickups. We'll pick them up. And
I'll bet nobody even blinks at
that. Not at all.
I mean, seriously.
No, they're so happy that it's not going in the garbage, and they're also happy that we're moving it and not
right.
them.
And it's not even covering your staff time and the gas. Probably right. $25 is more. It's like a token. I didn't know that. That's really great. But how do businesses find you? How do you get the word out? And does somebody know to call Rise because they have this, you know, Big Bertha copier that's not right. working anymore, and they have to get a new one?
Well, you know, they do internet searches for recycling, word of mouth. The county and the city have been great as far as directing people to us when they get calls about what to do with this stuff. The landfill refers people to us.
They email Mrs. Green, or they find out about
your
my
program.
Website. It does. It's
your
really
program.
True. Right. I'm a walking billboard because I love the entire loop, as I call it, the closed loop. So that's good. Word of mouth is the most powerful advertisement in the world. And I know and I keep referring to my Rotary Club because they thought I was nuts. I'm like, I want us to go offsite. It was a vocational program, actually, to learn about that. So what about, tell me a success story. We love to hear about success stories, like one of your staff that you hired and something really, a feel-good thing about how it really can work.
Well, we've had a number of staff that we've hired that come through, a voc rehab program, for example. We have a couple of ex-COPE clients that work for us. They've had their problems in the past and really could not find employment, could not find any place that would take them, would take a chance with them. They came to work with us. We train them.
And you get to see what kind of employees are going to be if they're in the program and see if that's going to work. So that's, you get to see the success.
We've been able to find employment for them because we've had calls from other places say, well, we need somebody that knows a little bit about computers. And we said, well, we've got the person.
Right, and so, place them there. Mm-hmm. What about, do you partner, and I hope I'm right, do you partner with One Stop? Aren't there other programs that you partner with?
We also, another facet of our company, of our program, is we also give classes. We have two instructors, and we have a contract with Pima County to teach at the Pima County One Stop, and it's basic computers, Excel, Word, and we also have, it's also a pre-employment. We show them how to do resumes online, how to find jobs online, so that because everybody has to apply online nowadays.
It's unreal to me.
We're also doing a program with the Literacy Foundation now. We just started that last month. We're teaching it's women at this point that are going through this literacy program. They're limited English speakers. They're going through this program trying to find employment, and one of their hurdles was they were computer illiterate. So we're getting them on the computer. We're teaching them the basics, how to get an email address, how to apply
it's
for jobs,
unreal that there
how to
are
do
people.
A resume. And then when they graduate from the program, the short course, we give them a computer to take home.
And how do people find out about those classes? Those would be referred to by literacy volunteers.
Right. And Pima County, of course, they push their one-stop program, and they do the advertising for that.
And where is that in your facility?
Well, those classes we do off-site. We go at Pima County sites, the Kino Center, I think, and then there's one on Bonita Avenue. But we have a classroom in our site where we do give classes to. That's where we had the that's where we had your Rotary Club's breakfast.
Okay. There were a lot of computer stations around there. Okay.
Right. That's where we give our classes to COPE clients or anybody that needs a class.
And they'll come in and they'll just...
They just come in and they sign up, and sometimes people don't know how to turn on a computer. We also have on-site a small... a public area where we have four computers set up, a little kiosk area where anybody can come in, use our computers, use our internet, apply for jobs, print out resumes, and that's all free.
That's a really great community service. I mean, that really is. And when you think about, my background is in social services, and the at-risk factors just add up and add up and up. If you don't know how to use a computer in 2012 and you're trying to get a job, what would that be? You know, like you're lucky if you could even get a job get through to be a server in a restaurant. I mean, even there, you have to apply for online and you have to have some at least basic computer skills.
Absolutely.
Computer skills. Okay. Now, what about how do people contact you? Because there are so many different ways. And I know we have, you know, some more time yet, but sometimes we go right into the end and I'm saying it at the very last minute. So I'd love to have it live on our website about how people contact you.
Okay. Well, obviously, our first way of contacting us is our phone number. It's area code 520-623-7162. We also have a website, www.riseequipmentrecycling.org.
And I will tell you this, that I'm a Google nut. I Google everything for the research on my shows. And if you do research, if you do Google yours, you're high in the Google search. And that's really good. Now, I'm going to ask you that it's just, it's not to put you on the spot, but it is a look into the future. To me, the consumer is now living in a very fast-paced social media world. What with social services, it's a little bit more of a slippery slope because you have confidentiality issues. Right. You have clients that have, you know, it's a mental health classification, which could be just, you know, depression, or they just need parenting skills. I mean, so mental health is a really broad, everybody needs some mental health services, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. What is your take on the importance of social media in the mission for not just Project for Rise, but for COPE? Do you think that there's an appropriate social media role for you to connect with your consumers?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's also part of our course now. We've added social media. We had to, because that's what they were asking for. They may not even know how to use a computer yet, but they want to know about Facebook. They want to know how to get on Facebook.
And they probably have a phone. That blows me away, too. Right. Almost everybody has a cell phone, and you can connect. Right. So they wanted to know about that and Facebook.
So it's very important, and it's a good way for them to connect also for any of their services that they might be looking for.
And the challenge is, and I get it because you and I kid about this, so there's no, I mean, you're not a big Facebook fanatic and you're not a lurker. Right. It's like it's very, very a conversation that you and I love to go back and forth about. But I think that for the future, connecting with the consumer and your clients is going to be something that a lot of behavioral health services are going to have to figure out the appropriate use. It's not easy. And also, the demands on your time. All of your team are busy. They're never standing around looking for things to do. And social media becomes a monster that you have to feed every day. And believe me, I know. Right. I have to keep up. I am a social media. That's what my business is. But I know for businesses that I consult with, you know, the CEO is saying, when am I going to have time to do that? The answer is they don't. So they have to figure out a way to do that. And I think it's we're going to be seeing some very interesting times with privacy. And, you know, I tell people, if you're not on Facebook, don't get on it. Unless you have a business purpose, like I do, to share messages and spread the word about sustainability. So my final question is, do you see, and I kind of asked this, but I wanted to know, in terms of volume and tonnage, from when you started, even from when I first found you like a year and a half ago, lots of increase? Is business booming?
It has increased a lot this year. I'm seeing businesses are starting to upgrade their computer systems now. Absolutely. There's been a big increase.
And I think that's really good news for Rise and for the planet. So if you just tuned in, what were you doing? You were listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight in the Southwest. Our in-studio guest, Ruben Vejar from Rise Equipment Recycling Center. All the information on how to contact him, you can just ask Mrs. Green, and I'll be happy to connect the big green dots. Make it a great green week, and remember, don't throw it away. There is no more away. Thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's world.